God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. I don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Less Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that express his reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Less Visible.
Hello, citizens of the universe, residents on a planet in transformation, conscious seekers after the inner light. Welcome to another 15 minutes with the dog poet in orbit. Hovering this evening above the financial centers of the world and watching the devotees of the golden calf as they plot and scurry in their efforts to make all of the world's currencies and substances their own. No illegal action is too bold for those for whom the bells of destiny have already tolled. As the black limousines pull up to the trading floor to carry them off to the graveyard, while even as their breaths are numbered, they grab for yet more and more and more. And as Lao Tzu once said, what kind of men are these who never hunger, never thirst, but eat and drink until they burst? There are other brigands, but these are the worst of all the highway's harms. These are the same desperate miscreants from the original tale of the golden calf. They expect something different this time, which qualifies them as the poster children of our present-day insane. The fiery rain is not going to fall mainly on the plane this time. It's going to fall like those missiles that can pinpoint a house. But unlike those missiles, they are not going to miss the house and hit a wedding party or a group of Palestinian sunbathers. No, this is a magnetic rain, a rain on a homing track, magnetized by the hearts who are attracting it, and, like some sort of combusting chemical marriage, they will be joined in their hour of resolution by that which they have sought after and found. Ashes and thence to dust. They are the compost that will feed the coming age and render their now alkaline substance to the roses that will bloom and the brotherhood and beauty that is the promise of the coming age, but not without some effort and difficulty. However, never mind. The effort is not ours, and the difficulty only in our minds. It doesn't have to be so, and even those deeply mired in the malicious tormenting of their fellows, and presently indifferent to the needs of those around them, can step away from the pit and walk into another world. Another world besides the one they are directly headed for as I speak. I didn't make that decision, and I don't make the rules. I'm one of those, what do you call them, non-combat advisors. Just an observer? Or someone who repeats the things he hears from the flotation tank inside his head? That sounds good. Let's go with that one. In any case, so much for preliminaries. Some of you might think of that as foreplay, but I think of it as preliminaries, even though the entire dynamic of the universe is a sex act. Well, there are two ways to look at that. Carnally and spiritually. It's the difference between casual animal couplings and the alchemical marriage. One is fatal and leads to the recurrent rebirths in a variety of forms, with varying degrees of consciousness. The other leads to conscious immortality and the eternal presence of the divine and all the possibilities that implies. I'm discussing existence as a sex act tonight because everyone can relate to that, and then it might be no large jump to what I intend to relate that to. Consider phrases like union with the divine. Consider the meaning of yoga. Consider the ways and means of using all the electric outlets in your house. And you can surely extrapolate from there. In tarot, there's a card called the Hermit. He stands all alone on an Arctic hike, holding out a lantern, seemingly alone. The card stands for the sense of touch, among other things. It also indicates one who has found union with the divine. Mystics across the ages have discussed this union using sensual terms and Of course, there's the Song of Solomon, the poetry of Rumi, and many other texts that describe this state as one of an ecstasy far more intense than pedestrian sex. I can personally attest to the truth of this, and want to encourage all of you to take the necessary steps to make it possible. It is possible for all of us. Do not waste this precious human birth. So, by roundabout and titillating ways, we now come to the practices that will make this condition possible for you. Meditation, my friends. And I'm going to pass on some features that I hope will make it possible to get more out of it and on your way more expeditiously. There are those who teach dispassion in meditation, but I suggest that for later on if you're not feeling a certain amount of passion for union, a certain yearning, you will find yourself with mixed results. Desire is the agent of God's will, and nothing attracts God more than a sincere passion for His presence. This does not have to be a disturbing state. Meditation is supposed to grant us more balance, a greater clarity of mind, as well as a sense of peace. Desire for the divine is also a force that pushes distracting thoughts out of your mind and your way because you are driving right past them to the goal. The lovers do not think of the difficulty and obstacles that lie between them. It is an all-consuming passion. This is why you see so many dead animals on the roadside in spring. Sorry to bring that up. Well, what's he saying? He's confusing me. He's probably confusing the people who know something about meditation even more. It doesn't sound right, does it? Well, think about it. How often were you successful to something you didn't care about compared to those things you cared about a great deal? How well did you learn and absorb things that didn't interest you compared to the things you were seriously interested in? Which of these do you know more about today? Do you play a musical instrument? How do you learn when it takes so long and can often be painful as well? You learn because you really wanted to, because love was involved. Love is the product of sincere passion, or you might say that sincere passion is the product of love. Impure desire is like an impure fire. It creates a lot of smoke and obscures your view of the real, causing you to be seduced by the unreal. If we were clear in our minds about what we really wanted, if we knew the value of what was worth having, compared to what life teaches us about what is not worth having, we would choose the company of the divine and put all our energy upon achieving it. The ardor of the passionate lover wins the heart of the beloved. Hopefully this point will take and we can move into areas of wider agreement now. Meditation works best when it is repeated at the same times every day. Entities from various distances start to make a point of showing up when you make it a point of showing up. It's good to meditate in the same location, also for the same reasons, because you build up an aura of protection by continuous meditation in the same place. Of course, now some of you are thinking that you can't meditate at the same time every day, and I know that if you try to, all sorts of things are going to interfere. You find time for everything else, don't you? And none of these other things are nearly as important. Oh, right. You think this might be important, but you don't know. And believe it to be as important, well, as it really is. This is like agreeing to something in a conversation or nodding your head at a plausible theory without meaning it. It's like eating your food but not tasting it. Not slowing down to taste it. The majority of us move through life without ever enjoying it anywhere near what is possible. The majority of us move through life enjoying all kinds of things that come nowhere near that which contains the larger measures of enjoyment. We're crazy and we need to get sane. What you do is you arrange your life around your spiritual practices and not the other way around. You make your life adjust. Unless, of course, you're not in charge of your life, and that means you're in trouble even if it hasn't really hit you yet. Here's a clue. Get up 15 minutes earlier and go to bed 15 minutes later. Then watch life try to take that from you too. Seriously. There's no point in trying to meditate for long periods of time if you can't even meditate for short periods of time. A short, successful meditation is more valuable than a longer, unsuccessful meditation, and 15 minutes is a good place to start. People can even be famous for 15 minutes. This whole radio show is 15 minutes. Meditation should increase on its own. Start small and you won't wind up quitting before you ever even really begin. People generally begin experiencing positive results in the period of 2 to 6 weeks. More likely later than sooner. At least you should go in expecting that. You should go in expecting to do it for the rest of your life also. It should be like shaving and bathing or... well... we'll just stop there. If you smoke pot, you lose at least 2 weeks every time. drinking is a real impediment. Drugs and alcohol only seem to have value when you are not reaping the benefits of meditation, because meditation removes the needs for them. You might well ask at this point, well, Visible, how does that explain your behavior on occasion? We can't explain my behavior. Well, briefly. I found the end result of my meditation, and I am now concerned with another part of the discovery process. It's unlikely this will happen to you in the same way, I'm pretty sure, and I doubt you want it to. All will be well, but I must pass through certain country on occasion and will continue until I get it right. I took a particular path, which is attended by different dangers and obstacles, and that path is not generally recommended, but it has no impact on the value of this material. The material stands on its own feet regardless of any difficulty I might have in doing the same. I mentioned sex and use it as an example because this is one of the primary, if not the primary, distraction to the degree of incline on your upward road. The serpent power, which manifests as sexual attraction and all the permutations of it, is also the force of liberation that ultimately results in Godhead. Plus, you get that cool cobra hood over your head, and no force in the universe can mess with you then. It's worth shooting for, and you can achieve it because that is the purpose you were born for. The reason you were given life was to discover that nothing in life has meaning except union with the divine. This we learn through the course of however much experience is necessary to prove it to us, and according to how much suffering we require to get the point. Basically, God plays hide and seek with himself. There are a number of things that can hinder successful meditation besides an agitated mind and an undisciplined nature. One of them is bodily discomfort, and this can have a lot to do with poisons lodged in the tissues. There are two methods that I know of that will bring remarkable healing and cleansing to the system. One of them is Dr. Gray's Colon Cleanse. You can find it at www.holistichorizons.com. It takes 3 months to finish it, but it will literally transform you. The other is to sit in a sauna at low heat, say about 140 degrees for 4 or 5 hours a day for 6 weeks. Don't laugh, it really works. Arguably, most of you do not have this kind of time or access to a sauna where you can control the temperature, meaning it has to belong to you or a friend. I highly recommend the first suggestion, though, and I only throw out the second to show that there are all sorts of processes out there that you might not know about. This means there are quite a few more. Both these processes drain the poisons from your tissues. Another important feature is flexibility, and for that I recommend the sun worship yoga exercise prior to the morning meditation. It's simple enough and non-stressful enough that most people can do it. Well, somewhat successfully, and 3 repetitions and up is a good start. There are all sorts of other options, but it's helpful to have the body in good shape and alive with the energy flowing. Attitude is the most important feature. A good attitude with the mind focused on union will accomplish a very great deal. As you approach the divine is approaching you. As you approach the divine, you are transformed at the rate or speed possible for you into an acceptable habitation for the divine. I don't think I have to mention diet in this context either. A good diet is essential, but even with a good diet, people often still eat too much and they also eat wrong. Food should be consumed consciously and slowly. 50% of the digestion takes place in the mouth. It's a good thought to have that you're ingesting the divine and it's becoming part of you. You're consuming sunlight if you think about it. Everything about us has divine implications. Going to the bathroom is a spiritual act if you make it so. You're eliminating those parts of yourself that are passing away as a new you comes more into being every day. If you think of the divine as a constant companion and do everything you do as if the divine were accomplishing it in you, at some point this will become a reality. The divine is going to throw things at you to see if you're sincere and to see if you are easily distracted away from what you claim to be wanting. You're going to fail at this over and over. We all do. You just accept that and get right back to it. No matter what comes your way, just tell yourself, this is nice, but it's not what I'm after. Be persistent. Be a noisy, demanding child. Pester the divine. Last night I was laying in bed doing the Hare Krishna mantra and I fell asleep. Later I came slowly awake to find myself still doing it, but someone else was in there with me doing it. It was a powerful experience and all night it kept happening again. It's hard for me to remember it like it was now. That's how it goes. I could feel what I believed to be the divine doing the mantra in me, as me, however it actually was and whoever it actually was, that's what it felt like. It happens to be true that everything that happens to you is God dealing with your soul. Even the most seeming and consequential thing is an activity of the divine, engaged in bringing you to a consciousness of the divine. We seem to want to pay attention only to the larger and more dramatic moments. This is a mistake. Very important things can be concealed in small packages. I did not want to give the impression that sex is bad, but it is a reality that if your focus is outward, you're moving on the path of generation in the material aspect. If your focus is inward, you're moving toward immortality, and the power and the collecting force will light your way. That's what it does. Over-focusing on the other plunges you into darkness. We're not all meant to be renunciants and ascetics. Periods of austerity are required, but once the contact is made, the same necessity doesn't exist. Once you're there, you're there. Even if you have to travel some distance yet, even if lessons remain to be learned. Well, there's more that I'm inclined to say, but we've reached the end of another broadcast, and I must demur. See if you can make meditation the centerpiece of your life. People who get discouraged about God not showing up at the dinner table are probably not extending enough effort, and God's not impressed. Even if you're not looking for the divine, meditation is a very powerful tool that will balance and enhance your life. So, dear friends, I'll see you next week if there is one. One of these days, the week between is going to contain some very earth-shaking events, and that time is not far away. So seek the shelter of the ineffable that you might have a sanctuary within and without. May the light within bloom forth and guide your footsteps to the halls of the true and enduring kingdom. Aloha to you. And the room. See him
in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.